The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
I seek truth, no use sits within me. How deep would I go to find what I know about me? You don't know me like God does, like I do. I'm training myself to know how to sing, trust myself, believing everything that I know. I can keep up with my mind.
Welcome to Thresholds to Awakening with your host, Sway Emily Spilkin. Deep inside our greatest challenges live the seeds of our soul medicine. Illness, trauma, loss, and crisis, if we enter them completely, can be gateways to the full embodiment of who we really are. Now, here is Sway Spilkin.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. And for those of you who don't know me, I am Sway Spilkin. I'm a somatic psychotherapist and a soul guide living in Boulder, Colorado. And I specialize in helping people use the thresholds of their lives as doorways into their spiritual growth. And today, I'm so happy to have with us in this conversation, Sarah Entrep. And Sarah is a pioneer here to really help humanity step up into a more soulful existence. She's a guide into the unknown parts of ourselves, and her highly developed clairvoyant and healing abilities have helped her to serve a wide range of people, from the most diligent spiritual seekers to the corporate execs, and I would add to the aspiring woo-woos in there as well. And Sarah is a translator of information and a real channel for healing. And she travels around the world giving workshops and retreats and helping people to connect to more of who they are. And when she's not traveling, she has a private practice in Petaluma, California, where she offers clairvoyant readings and healings, and she can be found on the web at www.sarahentrup.com, and that's Sarah with an H, .com. And she's also my friend and a soul sister and a workshop leader of a 30-day meditation program that I just completed with her, and that just was such a beautiful way to start the year, to have 30 days of really, I don't know if I can say this on our line. I was going to say kick butt meditations to clear out things that really were no longer serving. And in that process, Sarah, you really kind of mentioned the word threshold more than once, a few different times, and it caught my attention. And I thought, I really need to have you as a guest here with me. So I'm so happy to have you in this conversation.
Thank you, Sway. It's so nice to be here.
Great. And I just want to let everyone know to stay and really listen through the whole show today, because the first half of the show is going to be this really juicy conversation about, well, we'll find out what it's about. We both of us kind of lean into the unknown, so we don't exactly know what it's going to be about yet, but something to do with thresholds. And then the second half of the show is really going to be a meditation that you're going to lead us all in that has the potential to really clear some big blocks for people. So I just really want to encourage people to stay on the line for that.
Great.
So, let's jump in and talk a little bit about, well, first of all, do you want to add anything to you, to my description of you? What do you want people to know about you? And then let's jump off and talk a little bit more about the work that you're up to right now and this idea of a cycle of creation and how thresholds fit into that.
Okay. Well, your introduction was lovely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I guess I would add that I'm really here to help people wake up and to remember who they are and who they've always been. And I think of it as a returning, that we are returning to our truest nature. And so this plays into what I've been working on right now in my life. I've realized that I'm really good at seeing underlying patterns and blueprints mm-hmm. to life with my clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. And so I am currently in the process of developing a what I call soul print or a map of creation. And it really outlines the flow, the rhythm, the cycle that we all go through in our creative and creative rhythm and our healing rhythms within life. And it's when we're aligned with this natural soul print, this natural blueprint that lives within our very bones, when we're aligned with it, creation happens so much more easily and in the flow, and there's a sense of joy and peace around the creative process rather than struggle and effort and trying to make something happen. Mm-hmm. And when we're not in this, in alignment with this soul print, we create relationships that don't serve us, mm-hmm. jobs that don't feed us, and we really kind of bypass the life we truly want to be living, and we kind of dumb down what we are actually capable of creating.
Mm-hmm. I love hearing you say that. What I'm really resonating with as you're talking is the sense of creating is not something extra that we lay on top of ourselves, right? So often we have this feeling like I'm not enough, so I have to gear up or pretend or force or use excessive effort to create something that I don't already have or that I'm not enough for, mm-hmm. versus actually just sinking into what is true here. Who am I actually on a deeper soul level, and what wants to occur through me? What's the natural movement that if I can line up with it can actually just happen, which is well, partially just a lot kinder towards ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Very much kinder. And there's this underlying energy that when we're in align again with this soul print, that we are all born to be master creators. Mm-hmm. And we all have the information, the energy, everything that we need to manifest every aspect of our lives the way we truly, truly desire it to be.
Mm. All right. Well, that brings me up against a little bit of an edge. And so I'd love to have a conversation with you about
edges.
about edges. And like, what do I mean that it brings me up against an edge? I mean that, so I hear that and I say, okay, yes, absolutely. And it is totally possible to manifest, really almost anything. And at the same time, there are certain things in our lives that feel like big obstacles or big, big challenges. And I've seen over and over again kind of the dark side of the law of attraction, where mm-hmm. people blame themselves or shame themselves because somehow they're not, quote, able to manifest the thing that they think that they want. And so then there's something wrong with them, and then they're failures at manifesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I went through a big, what I call threshold journey of, you know, illness for a number of years, it was not something that I could just snap my fingers and, right. you know, create my way out of. It was serving a different purpose. And so I'm wondering what you can say to that as we get into this territory of manifestation.
Yeah. Well, why there's this kind of black and white, the kind of the shadow of manifesting, as you implied, is because we have devalued healing in the whole equation. Mm-hmm. And in my map, in kind of the way I see it, is that healing is a part of creation. And if we are not willing to really step into relationship with healing, we will never manifest what we are truly wanting and desiring. And so healing is so much a foundation principle to creation. And it's one that is greatly bypassed personally and collectively, planetarily, and we all are kind of like what you referred to. Culturally, we are kind of addicted to this continual outpouring of creation. Like, I have to make something happen, and I have to create. And if I can't create what I want, then I'm somehow not enough. Mm. And if we can really start to kind of drop back into this soul print, the first steps in the map are letting go and healing. And, you know, this soul print could be a lifetime, but it could also be just weeks or months. Everyone's pace of their map, of their blueprint of creation is very individual. And so there's a huge place for the process of healing. And if we don't really fully allow ourselves to step in, to heal, to be with whatever's happening physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and move through that completely, we won't get to this natural buildup of creative energy that wants to happen.
That is a brilliant answer. I can thank you. I just feel myself relaxing as you say that. And there's such a resonance with me, my own experience and my experience with my clients and, you know, the people that I serve. And there's such a tendency, you know, one of the things that kind of motivates me in the work that I do is to help alleviate the added suffering, the extra suffering that we put on top of our reality. And so much of that comes from devaluing the healing process or thinking mm-hmm. that, you know, because we're in this process, there's something wrong with us versus mm-hmm. understanding, no, this is actually an initiation. This is Absolutely. You developing the tools that you need in order to do anything with the rest of your life in order to, you know, kind of complete your mission here as a soul. And it's not something wrong. And so, but I haven't really, what I love about what you're saying is that I haven't really framed it in terms of this cycle of creation. And I love how you're kind of putting these pieces together for me and for all of us. And I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about this map. What are the different parts of this cycle? What does the map look like?
Mm-hmm. So if we could say the expression of creation is at the north, that's kind of the end of the cycle. If we go clockwise, I like to start in the east at this place of letting go and surrender. Mm. It's a place of really kind of, we have just created, maybe we have just come off of a big creation, a big project, and it's done. And then there's this stepping into kind of being, just letting ourselves be, in spaciousness. And then there's this natural energy of expelling that needs to happen, like discharge, mm-hmm. that I need to let go. I need to release. I need to, if we keep moving down towards the south, I need to, destroy or deconstruct what is no longer serving me in my life. Because as soon as we create something that we truly long for or have desired for a long time, and it's this bright, beautiful, shiny creation in the center of the room, we start to see all of the other things that we have been living mm-hmm. through that aren't serving us anymore, that aren't resonating at the same vibration that we are currently at. And so after we create, we start to move automatically into this deconstructing, this destructive, or this healing space of, okay, it's time for me to take inventory. It's time for me to transform. It's time for me to let go of what no longer is serving me or what I have created out of alignment from myself. Mm. And then, so healing is in the south.
Yeah.
And then once we move and we truly move through our healing, there's emptiness again. There's a spaciousness again. And then we start to move up. And as soon as we let go or as soon as we feel better or as soon as we move through whatever it is that is in the south for us to move through, there's this immediate seed of, oh, I want to go outside. I want to extend. There's this seed of creative energy that starts to percolate in us. And it's a building where in the east, the energy is dissipating and letting go. We are releasing energy all the way to the south. And then as soon as we start to move from the south to the west, there's this energy of, oh, I'm kind of excited. Oh, I want to go connect. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to go talk to friends. I want to go out into the world. And then it's a time of building our energy and our life force. And then once we're in the place of the West, this is the place of the great unknown. And it's a place to really, I don't know what I want. I have all this juice. I don't know what I want to create, but there's all of this life force moving through me. And usually at this place is where people tend to either, they don't know, they dissipate their energy too quickly. Oh, I have all this like creative energy. So, okay, I'm just going to go do the first thing I feel like doing. But if we actually let our life force build and build and build and build, we will actually, the place of the West is a great threshold where if we let our energy build enough and we sit in the unknown, we will move up against the outer parameters of our own personal universe. And if we let the energy build strong enough, it will actually move us beyond our threshold. So the place of the West is the place of where something authentically new can start to happen for us. And where we can actually have a new thought, a new inspiration, the possibility of new creation. And then, so then we move from the West into up towards the North into actual creation. I like to say, when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. That's the place of the East. When you don't know what to do, don't, it's not a time to do anything. But when you know what to do, go do it. And so that's the place of the West moving to the North that, oh, all of a sudden I know what I want and I want to create it. I want to manifest it. Great. Go do it. And you follow the energy that's been building in you. It's really exciting because it's a different way of letting the creative energy move through us. It's us following the energy with our body rather than through all of these programmed ideas of what our lives should look like and where we should be at and what should be happening.
Yeah. Well, thank you for outlining all that. It's, just have such a clear sense of it. And I, as you're talking, I'm realizing, you know, one of the challenges that we have culturally is that we place value on parts of that cycle and devalue other parts. It's not okay not to know. It's not okay to be in a healing process. It's really only okay to be, you know, on steroids and producing and not really sleeping very much. You know, like that's really the only thing that we value is that sense of produce, 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 produce.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, I'm thinking of, do you know the Mayan teacher, Martin Prechtel?
Yes.
Yeah. So I remember reading this piece in one of his books, Long Life, Honey in the Heart, years ago, where he was talking about waiting. He was talking about, he became a Mayan elder, basically, was adopted into this community, became a shaman after apprenticing for a number of years. And he talked about the elders of the village preparing for ceremony. And that the preparing for the ceremony was an integral part of the ceremony itself, and that it might take about 6 hours. And they would get dressed. The preparation for the ceremony was getting dressed in their finest, most glorious attire, because their job for the next 6 hours was just to be food for the gods, just to be beautiful, to be a feast while they were waiting for basically the energy to build so that the ceremony could happen.
Yeah.
And I loved reading that because I read it during a time, you know, during that period of time where I was in my threshold and not a lot was happening in my outer world. And all my energy was going into the internal, both the healing and the not knowing, really, the South and the West. And I read that and it resonated so strongly because something in me deep knew, oh, this is so intrinsic to being human, this sacred waiting. And we just have forgotten in our particular culture how to do it, but it doesn't mean it's not valuable. It doesn't mean what I'm going through during this threshold time is not essential.
I absolutely agree. And this really brings up the idea of sacred creation. I was actually thinking about not, you know, this whole thing that I'm working on, whether it's a book or however it takes form, of not putting the word creation in it, because it really, we have such a slant towards that energy in our culture. But there's this energy of, can we wait and prepare our vessels so that creation actually aligns with us? And that creation is a gift, actually. It's very intrinsic, and it is our birthright when we are in our cores and when we are aligned and when we are ready. Mm-hmm. And it may happen and it may not. And what if it doesn't? You know, what if you're at the West and you're preparing and preparing and preparing and it doesn't happen? Does that somehow mean your life is less valuable or less worthwhile? And, you know, so a lot of where I'm going in this work is really developing this idea of what would your life look like if you were greatly supported in your healing cycle and in letting go, that everyone knew in your community that you are in a place of great healing and great time to go in and really, really let go and redesign your internal landscape. And then what if when you're in a northern, really inspired time to create and your whole community gathered around you to support you in that creative process, you know, and you were much more resourced and creation was much more easy to manifest for you. It is very much a different framework.
Well, that really speaks to, you know, I've been, on the academic side of this, doing research into this idea of post-traumatic growth, which is kind of the academic term for how to use our challenge as an initiation, how to view it that way. And in all these studies that I'm reading as I'm, you know, doing my research, one of the main factors that determines whether someone kind of achieves this high level of post-traumatic growth or not is their social support network. And the way that they're looking at it in these studies is more like, hey, do you have someone to talk to? Do you have someone to lean on? Do you have someone to be there with you? The way that, you know, you're talking about it now is, hey, can we actually invite our larger community to be on board with this particular framework so they can offer us sacred mirroring? So they can say, we see you and this is where you're at in the cycle and we honor that and we're going to hold this with sacredness. So if someone is sick or someone is, you know, just going inside because that's what they need to do for several months, or someone is, you know, in a retreat period, or someone's really just let go of a job and they don't know what's next, instead of ostracizing them or making them wrong, the community can hold them with a reverence and an honoring of the part of the process that they're in. And in that holding and mirroring, the person then feels more and more validated and they can turn towards themselves and celebrate themselves in that part of the process they're in.
Absolutely. And before we can actually expect that or desire that from our community, we really have to first really know where we are at in our own cycles, and be able to pinpoint where we are at any time, day to day, week to week, year to year, lifetime to lifetime, you know, and say, okay, this is where I am. I am at a threshold, or I am really, really in a healing phase right now. Or, you know, if we can claim where we are at in any moment, then we can rally the energy around us accordingly. And that's why I keep coming back to this blueprint or this soul print is so important, because if we don't know where we are at, if we don't know what is happening for us, then what tends to happen is we will, rather than staying in the unknown, we will go towards the most recognizable pattern, which is I need to create. I need to, something's happening. Something's not okay. So I need to create something else. What happens is we just create a bunch of messes rather than saying, okay, I'm not creating. I'm taking creation completely off the table so that I can be totally present with where I'm at. And the greatest part about this is not that creation is an end goal, but when we do that, we move through our thresholds or the healing process so much faster when we can really just surrender and be exactly where we are.
Yeah.
And then the other cool thing that I have to say is the north is really the place of creation is really the only known in my map. Mm-hmm. The place of the east is unknown. The place of surrender, the place of south of healing is unknown. And the place of west is unknown. Mm. And the only place that is known is at the actual end process of externalized manifestation. And so culturally, we have to get much more comfortable with sitting in the unknown.
So I love that we're having this conversation. It's such synchronicity between you and I right now. I just wrote a blog post yesterday. I haven't posted it yet, but it's all about the power of not knowing and why it's actually more potent to not know than to know. And in part, it's because it actually opens us up to the realm of possibility, and that if we're in knowing, we have one trajectory, one line that we can walk. If we're in not knowing, we have infinite possibility, and we can actually access that infinite possibility.
Yes, absolutely. In my languaging, I say, because when we're in the known, what most people do is they tend to replicate, mm-hmm. you know, and or if you're in the unknown, there is a possibility of actual authentic creativity.
Yep.
And so are you replicating your life or authentically creating your life?
So great. Well, I want to back up and talk about a couple topics here. One being just, you know, for the folks who are listening who are going through some sort of threshold experience or are in the unknown. So now they've got a little bit of a map from what we've talked about, which is great, which can help kind of go, oh, okay, maybe I can value this rather than struggle against it. And I'm wondering, from a energetic perspective or a spiritual perspective, if we could go a little bit deeper into what do you see as the purpose of the big challenges that people face? Why do we need to go through a healing experience, or what's the purpose of surrender so that we can maybe ease into it a little bit more? How do you see that serves us as humans?
Mm-hmm. Well, all the way back to the beginning with this one. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know why, but somewhere along the way, we collectively and for most individuals have lost the connection to our wholeness.
Yeah.
And this has been over lifetimes, you know, for ages and ages. And so I see the challenges, the healings, the karma that we carry as catalysts to help redirect us back once again to remembering what we have forgotten.
Yes.
So it's really just this process of unwinding and unraveling back to the core, because at our core we are whole.
Right. So then healing is really wholing. The process of healing is about sounds like in your words or your description, really cleaning or coming into right relationship with those places where we've split off from our wholeness, where we've fragmented or become separate from who we actually are. And then so that split then manifests often as a big challenge in our lives. And the big challenge then presents, is this right in your map, then presents an opportunity to reclaim or recover the wholeness if we go through it.
Mm-hmm. And tap into maybe unfound brilliance or uncharted territories of our own core, unexplored life force.
So I want to also ask you about, we've talked a little bit about these kind of two different ideas of threshold, right? So on one hand, a threshold is a portal. It's a kind of a place where, okay, something's going to change. And so there's a big challenge in our life that presents us with an opportunity for that change to step back into our wholeness or whatever it is. It's literally a doorway. It's the thresh, the hay that's, you know, on the door sill that kind of holds the dirt back from the house, right? Mm-hmm. So it's on one hand, there's the outside, and then the other hand, there's the inside, and the threshold is the place you cross over between the two. And then we also think of threshold as, it's used commonly as, I've hit my threshold, I've hit my limit, I can't go beyond this place. A threshold for pain or a threshold for joy is a big one we don't usually think about, but we all have an upper limit or a threshold on how much joy we can let ourselves have or how much goodness, right? So it's kind of shifting the topic from the one definition of threshold we've been talking about as part of that cycle of creation to, and this is related, but to this other understanding of our limits. And I'm wondering, you and I have talked a little bit about this idea of havingness that also relates to that, of like, how much can I let myself have, or what I call a healthy entitlement? You know, how much can I really feel my worth and feel, let my sense of, healthy entitlement to my own wholeness drive my receptivity? And I just wonder if you can talk a little bit about that and how that fits into your work.
Absolutely. So, it's really amazing because the more I've worked with people on creating and this idea of they're wanting more happiness or a relationship that feeds them or purpose or money or whatever it is that they're wanting, we always have to start with kind of the threshold of disbelief that they can have it. Mm-hmm. And I've so clearly seen the correlation between our self-worth, our self-love, our self-value, and our ability to have abundance in our lives. And the more we value who we are and value our lives and value where we are along the path, the more we can have more of anything. So self-worth directly correlates to havingness or health entitlement.
Well, what I love about that is that having a map and a framework of, okay, this is an initiation to actually help me step into my soul gifts, or, oh, this is a valid and valuable part of the creation cycle. I'm in surrender, or I'm in unknown, or, you know, I'm in healing. Having that map can actually shift our sense of self-worth. Because rather than blaming ourselves and thinking, oh, there's something wrong with me because I'm not, you know, creating all the time, we can go, oh, I'm doing this really valuable thing of resting. You know, it actually reminds me, years ago when I was going through my threshold challenge, my illness, I was assisting a training, a body of work that I was assisting at that time called HAKOMI, which is body-centered psychotherapy. And one of my friends was in the train or was also assisting. And I had to drop out because I just was, you know, I had to listen to my body at that time, which was saying, you actually can't do much of anything right now. You have to just be laying. You know, you have to just go totally inward. And it was really painful to drop out because I really wanted to be there. And I was leaving and, you know, tears kind of came to me as I was hugging people goodbye. And I said, you know, and she said, take care of yourself, which is, you know, just a normal goodbye. And I said, well, that's all I can actually do right now is take care of myself. And she just looked at me and held my hands and looked me in the eyes and, you know, and said, well, thank you for doing it. It is such an important task. And I started to cry because in that moment, I was already crying, but I was cried more because in that moment, there was a sense of, oh my God, you value this. And that helped me really honor it and value it in a way that then shifted my sense of worth around what I was going through.
Absolutely. Oh, it's so important too. And that's the thing. It's like to truly be present wherever we are in the shit, in the pain, in the struggle, and to really embrace it from our cores and from, our wholeness. There's great value in every step. There are jewels to be found in every point along our journey, that there's no ultimate place where we should be living. Or, and so really coming back and slowing down. And this is the thing too, that we really culturally and personally need to slow down, because the rhythms of creation and healing are actually slow to moderate. They're not fast. Mm-hmm. And it's only when we bypass surrender, we bypass healing, we resist healing, we resist being in the unknown, that we speed up and push and go somewhere else. So it really is about this, really honoring and being holding the whole journey of our lives is so sacred. So sacred.
Well, with that, I would love to transition into a guided meditation and for you to lead us in that on some of the things that we've spoken about here. And what I'll do is I'll just give you a little bit of a time warning towards the end. So just like I'll give you like a 5-minute warning or so, you know, right before, you know, the end so that we can wrap it up. Because I know sometimes when we go into these spaces, we just go and kind of lose touch with the kind of ordinary rules of time and space. So just let's have you guide us in that and then just listen for my little warning in there.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sway. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's really simple to meditate with me. All you have to do is just visualize everything I'm saying. Just make it up in your mind's eye. And in my domain, there is no right or wrong answer to any of this. So everything goes and everything is welcome. So to pay attention of what is arising for you as I'm speaking. So go ahead and just close your eyes and take a breath. And with this idea of our natural rhythm, our natural pacing is actually slow to moderate, can you say hello to slowing down? Can you give your body permission to slow down? Can you give your awareness permission to actually align with your body? So you as awareness start to come right behind your eyes in the center of your head. Imagine that you are awareness or spirit or energy within a body. And just start to let all of your energy, your awareness, come right to behind your eyes in the center of your head. Let your eyeballs fall back into their sockets. And breathe. And give your body permission to relax. Noticing, scanning the musculature of your body and softening any of the muscles that you're holding in your stomach, in your legs, your inner thighs, your jaw. Because to really let go, letting go is a softening. So just for a moment, can you give your body permission to let go? I choose to let go of whatever I'm carrying that is no longer serving me. And breathe. Exhale. And as you're letting go, imagine your body grounded with a grounding cord. So imagine a nice cord, a tree trunk, connecting from the base of your hips straight down into the center of the earth. And visualize the center of the earth. And imagine your grounding cord going into something in the center of the earth. If it's a tree trunk, imagine your roots growing all the way down into the center of the earth. And then come back up to behind your eyes in the center of your head. And give your body permission to let go down your grounding cord. And what will happen is the earth is the ultimate recycler. The earth will use our energy, whether it's pain or emotional shit, excuse my language, manure, any of it, and it will use it as fertilizer. The earth will neutralize that energy into fuel. So can you give yourself, your body, permission to let go of anything that is not yours to carry anymore? And this is such an important idea with healing, because so often we carry what is not ours to carry. We carry energies, we carry emotions, we carry toxicities that are not ours to carry. Because we cannot heal, truly heal what is not ours. We can only store it in our bodies. So noticing if you're storing any energy for your family, a family member, or a colleague, or anyone in your life, noticing if you're holding something for somebody else. And it's a great gift. It's a great act of compassion and love. And then it's an even bigger act of compassion and love to be willing to give it to the earth, to let it be really neutralized, really give it to an energy that can transform it. Continuing to soften. Softening is the key to letting go, relaxing, surrendering is the key to healing. Noticing what you are holding tightly in your own personal universe. What are you holding on to? What relationships are you holding on to? I tend to energetically grip my 2-year-old child, and it's my job to be a conscious mother to let go of that grip. Can you let go of, a good rule of thumb is to let go of everything. And what is truly yours will remain in alignment with you without you having to hold it up or without you having to carry it. It will just naturally be beside you as you walk along your journey. So rather than me holding my son energetically in my body, I let him go and I show him how to ground so that he can energetically walk beside me rather than me carry him. Rather than me hold my husband's life force in my body, I let it go and trust that he will walk beside me. My clients, everyone, you can do this with everyone and everything. Can you surrender what is not yours? And let it be recycled. Let the energy be recycled by the earth. So be behind your eyes. Come back to behind your eyes in the center of your head. And say hello to your spine for a moment. Acknowledge your spine, the back of your body. And as we start to walk in greater alignment with our natural rhythms and cycles of creation and healing, it is so important to have to know your deepest intentions and desires for your life. So just think for a moment. If you were on your deathbed and you were ready to pass through the ultimate threshold, what is the one thing you would have liked to have had happen in your life? What is the deepest desire that you carry for your life? And you may have several, or it may be one. Mine always is to love and to be loved. To deeply know and to be deeply known by another. To greatly give and to receive beyond my personal capacity. Just saying hello to the deepest intention, the deepest desire that you hold for your life. Because that is what often gets us through places of great challenge and great difficulty. If we know we are going through this for a reason, if we know we are going through the pains of labor to give birth to an amazing heart, an amazing expression of love, then it is somehow worth it. And if we also know that it will end, that it is a cycle, a part of a cycle that will end, it will come to completion, it is much easier to go through it. So intention is often our lamp to guide us through the thresholds. So then I want you to just say hello to where are you up against your capacity? Your capacity maybe for pain, and maybe it's your capacity for joy, that you're wanting more joy, or you're wanting to transform the pain. Say hello to any edges or thresholds that you might be experiencing in your life. You might be in a relational threshold, you might be in a work threshold. I like to say hello to it as the edge of my universe. Where is the edge of your universe? Where is the edge of what you know? And just on the other side of your universe, of this threshold, is the unknown. I often relate to thresholds, this energy of our limits or our maximum capacity, with this idea of desire, that my desire for what I truly want in my life, or my desire for more, is stronger than my fear of staying where I am. When I know my desire is stronger than my fear for change, for more, for newness, I am at a threshold. So some basic principles with thresholds, it's a great time to pray. To God, Goddess, Source, creation, whatever you want to pray to, the earth, anything in between. It is a great time to pray. It is a great time to rewrite your intentions. It is a great time to come back to the basic principles, the basic guiding energies of your life. So once again, say hello to the edge. And we can also intend, like, okay, I want to start to be pushed up against my edge so that I can start to move into more. We can actually consciously push our threshold. Sometimes life pushes them for us, and sometimes we can very consciously say, okay, I want more. I want to grow. I want to transform. I want to shift. I want to change. And we can intend to kind of climb our way out to the edge of our own personal knowingness or the edge of our universe and start to push on our universe, on our edge, ourselves.
And Sarah, we've got just about 5 minutes here.
Amazing. Happens so fast.
I know.
So, can you start to let the energy within your body, within your life, continue to build and build? Can you give yourself permission to start to move into a place of not knowing? I don't know what my life is going to look like, and that's okay. Can you start to walk yourself closer and closer to the edge and actually start to imagine jumping off into the great unknown, knowing that within the unknown is the potential for everything? Within the unknown, anything can happen. Within the unknown, magic If we are conscious about truly stepping into the unknown, we can initiate, we can call upon the energy of magic. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what it looks like, but I am holding on to my intention of great love. And I am asking the energy of magic and mystery to guide me. So it's starting to rely on unseen energies within ourselves. It's starting to rely on, I am asking the parts of myself that I do not know yet to start to reveal themselves to me. I would like to start to become, get, move into greater relationship with the wholeness that I am. I would like to start to remember the parts of myself that I've forgotten. So moving into this edge of our universe, pray. We pray at our thresholds. We pray to ourselves. We pray to our wholeness. We pray to our light. We pray to the possibility of what could be. And then we wait. Mm-hmm. So breathe. And let yourself be in this place of waiting. Joyful, exciting, anticipating the arrival of something new, of a new part of you, anticipating the magic that is going to come to your doorstep. And know that this waiting, and in this waiting is a great transformation that is happening within you. There are great circuits opening within you. Can you allow them to open? Breathe. And imagine a huge golden sun full of possibility, full of your wildest dreams and your greatest desires. Life force energy. Pop that golden sun and let that liquid golden light, imagine liquid golden light moving in through your crown. And start this liquid golden energy, fill up the inside of your body. From the inside out, you are filling with liquid golden light. You are turning on the lamp. You are turning on the lights of your internal garden. And let this golden light come all the way down to your feet, through your legs, through the base of your body, your genitals, your hips. Let this golden light fill up your spine, all of your intestines, your organs, your breath, your heart, your shoulders, your arms, your neck, your head, everything gold. And then let this golden light fill the space around your body. And may you have the strength to be present with wherever you are along your journey and know that it is sacred. And when you're ready, take a breath, bend, touch your toes, open your eyes, and stretch.
That's so beautiful and such a tease at the same time. I can feel my desire kindled for more, like the sense of, oh, I could hang out in that courting, you know, the beckoning of the unknown and the beckoning of the parts of myself that I haven't yet imagined for a really long time, kind of building up that potency.
Yes. Yeah.
So good. It's so good. It's at some point, I don't know if it's going to be with you or with someone else, but it'd be great to have because I'll tell you the state that I'm in right now, which is like is radically different than I was. I was in a good place before we did the meditation, but now it's like, I feel like I'm liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's just, it's like, wow, at some point I'd love to have a conversation of like, what is actually happening on a kind of neurological, chemical basis in our body when we do energy work, when we pray. I know there's lots of scientific studies on it, but it's just amazing to feel this state of like liquid and melted. And anyway, that's my way of saying thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Such a beautiful conversation.
Yeah, and I look forward to more with you. And I also just really want to make sure people know how to find you on the web, which is www.sarahentrup.com. And I know you've got 30-day meditations that they can purchase, as well as sessions with you and different. You've got an upcoming program that's going to be all about this cycle of creation.
Yes.
Yep. And people can also find me at the web, on the web at www.thresholdshealing.com. That's thresholds with an S at the end, healing.com, where you can sign up for sessions and read articles and get information about my upcoming programs, as well as find podcasts of previous shows. So I want to thank everyone for being with us on the call. And thank you so much, Sarah. It's really a delight.
Thank you, Sway. So nice to be here.
All right.
Thank you again for joining us this week. Thresholds to Awakening can be heard live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Please join Sway Emily Spilkin then, and have a great week.